You see, now I was talking to New York's finest, man, Cassius, a Spotify, right? And I was like, Cassius, man, we doing a show, man, Mac Mania Podcast, man. I'm thrilled. I'm elated. I'm over the top. I'm over the moon. But are people listening? Am I just talking? And ain't nobody listening? I know it's early. I know we're still in our infancy, man. Cash is cash. But is people, are people listening to the show? And he's like, yeah, people actually listening, man. You know, it's, you know, we got, it's a work in progress, you know, but people are actually listening. People are actually tuning in. Here go the numbers. Check the numbers. I go, oh, that's not too shabby. And that warmed my heart with glee, because as you make a professional transition and things happen that are out of your control, And you're walking around wondering your value and what the hell's going on. And you know there's some people out there that are listening to you. And then you're wandering around and you're checking your mail. And then all of a sudden you have a little package. And I'm like, who's this package from? It was a mystery package. I didn't know who it was. And I opened it up and it was a Trish Stratus shirt. It was a Stratus shirt. And it was from Trish Stratus. And I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know when. But I was Stratus-fied. Shout out to Trish Stratus. Shout out to this beautiful, amazing, talented Hall of Famer, when a goat in her own right. That literally, that came at the perfect time when I literally was like, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do professionally. You know what I mean? And this shirt came in and it's all nice. I'm wearing it right now. Y'all can't see it, boy, but I'm wearing it right now. And it's all stratification. I'm stratified. Y'all, I'm stratified. So I would like to say thank you to Trish Stratus. Thank you to everybody that's listening to the Mac Mania Podcast, y'all. And I really appreciate y'all. I really do, man. But also I wanted to say, man, on a side note, man, yo, Evander Holyfield, will you please stop boxing? You have done enough. You have fought and fought and fought, and you have made money, and you solidified your legacy, and you had a great run. I do not want to see somebody damn near old as my daddy getting in the ring and getting hurt. Evander Holyfield, stop. Please. Get well soon, Triple.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Beach. Let's go. Oh my goodness, salutations, Mac Mania Podcast. Y'all know the deal. Y'all know the voice by now, man. Listen, I had a few things going on, man, that I wanted to address, man. I had a couple things on the rundown. Had a nice little Google Doc. Then all of a sudden, Big E want to come out with a tweet. I'm like, Big E, I had stuff I wanted to talk about. I had things, and you scooped me. He scooped me. Big E called his shot a la Babe Ruth, even though some say Babe Ruth never really did that. However, we'll get to that on a different podcast on a different day. But y'all know what I'm talking about. He called his shot. He said he's going to cash in the money in the bank. He damn sure cashed in the money in the bank. He won. This is the first time in history there's been a brother-to-brother transfer of the title in WWE and wrestling. In history, if I'm not mistaken, Big E is your new champion. Flobo Boys, Jack Farmer. First and foremost, good morning, salutations. What the hell say y'all?
Brother to brother transfer sounds like a banking banking situation. Like, yo, brother, I was floored too, man. Look, we've seen surprise cash-ins plenty of times.
Yeah.
We've seen people try to call their shot next WrestleMania or next Wednesday. I've never seen someone a day out be like, yo, after your match, I am going to come out there and take it. And that puts it in a whole different category. It was a fantastic moment. But now, Brother to Brother Transfer should be the first t-shirt Mac Mania releases, my friend.
Brother to Brother Transfer, hashtag Mac Mania podcast. Jack Farmer!
Man, so of course this happens, and you see all these naysayers on social media. You see all these jerks on social media kind of come up. They're just trying to pop ratings. They're just trying to... Shut up. It's great. I love it. It was awesome. Who cares what they did it for? I loved it. I thought this was done absolutely
perfectly. And to piggyback on what you're saying, though, Jackie boy, are they not supposed to go for ratings?
Yeah, it's the because if they didn't pop ratings, everyone would say, "Well, what are the ratings this week?" You know, it was this was so well. Even let's say it's all the terrible reasons people on Twitter like to say that this is happening for. Who cares? It was great. I'm here for it. I loved it. I love Big E. I love the way it played out. I love the way Raw went. I don't think this could have gone any better. Across the board, the way he tweeted it, yep. the way he talked about it in the beginning, yep. the way he teased it all night, the way it happened at the end, this was done magically, perfectly done, and all that also, Big E finally getting that title. I loved this all the way through.
Yeah, he was overdue. He was overdue, and there's always a narrative that they always talk about, well, oh, it wasn't his time. Well, I disagree. Right when he was with Ziggy and they could have started a feud there and he could have won it then. I know there's like this thing that they kind of create and they kind of make a lot of superstars think that they have to do this certain, they have to go through Pan's Labyrinth to become a champion, you know what I mean? Right. They have to do the seven trials of Hercules to become champion. But that's not necessarily true. The reason why, and my biggest takeaway, guys, for everything what you're saying is, my biggest takeaway was the outpouring of support from everyone from different type of sports entertainment, all across social media. That was the sentiment, not just fans, but his peers. You know how someone feels about you based on how your peers talk about you. And everyone from the veterans to the young bucks were all talking about how amazing this was and how much of a big moment that was for Big E, how much everyone was tripping that WWE changed like the marquee that says Big E is champion, like on WWE's Twitter, you know what I mean? That's like their Twitter handle, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. so that was to me the most glaring thing, how the outpouring of support of a class act that is Big E. But let's not act like this is something that should have took as long as it did, though.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, we've been doing this broadcasting thing for years, Evan. And I remember one day outside of one of our old studios at our former employer, you were saying, man, Big E's a big champion. Big E has the tools. Big E is a guy. And I'll be the first one to admit, it's like, I saw it, but I didn't see it. I was kind of like, okay, yeah, all right, Evan, I'm going to keep nodding and smiling because we're just friends. It's cool, you know? But here's somebody
don't patronize me.
I patronized. I did. I'm sorry. But you see someone that had the size, had the look, had the opportunity. I had my own reservations when Kofi came to Big E and go, okay, you're
what,
now
what did you see? What didn't you see? So when you said you didn't see it, what did you see? You saw, but you didn't see it. What was that?
So when I say what I saw the size, I saw the speed, I saw the power, I saw the moveset. Right. What I didn't see is, well, there's a Mason Ryan out there, there are Rybacks out there. Mm. I did not quite see what will work into the system of the WWE. This is why a lot of the sentiment is, Big E never changed. Big E didn't try to go into a system. Mm. It was like, I am the system. Are you going to buy into me or not? And so I think we're seeing a lot more wrestlers do that, not to compare him, but I thought Matt Riddle is very similar to that. So having him become champion, one, you're vindicated. You're right. You call it from years out. But it was cool to see now for little kids, now for wrestlers doing it now, you don't have to work into a type. The type dynamic is done. It really is. Focus on your craft. Be as good as you can and be so good you can't be ignored.
Yeah, and the one thing we kind of get caught up in, especially brothers, and I read what people say, like they're like, you know, there's a, it's like the dark web. I call it like Black Twitter is like the dark web. It's a thing. If you know about it, you know about it. You know what I mean? So like, there's this sentiment being like, no matter what, I gotta just go for like the brother. Now like, I support him in the industry because it's not as many of us as people think like prominent. But I hold things to a higher standard. You still have to be good. Just because you and me got the same skin tone doesn't mean I'm gonna be like, you should be champion. When I say Big E should be champion, I'm like, well, he got all the tools. They like big guys, he's a big guy. They like people that could talk in the mic, he could talk in the mic. All the things they tell me they like, he can do. So why isn't he champion? So that's so when it comes to that, I'm just not rooting for Big E because he's a brother. I was rooting for him because I thought he was overdue, Jack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you talked about the Pan's Labyrinth seven labors of Hercules.
Was it seven labors? Was it seven labors of Hercules?
I don't know.
Was it 12 labors?
Was it 12 trials? Listen, man, I used to love Greek mythology. No, I don't know nothing. Shut up, everybody. Listen,
you could have said any number and I would have been like, yeah, that sounds
the
right.
The 72 trials of Hercules. Yeah. Yo, Flobo, check that for me. Cassius, where the hell you at?
But speaking of the trials, man.
It's 12.
Trials!
I Googled it. Big E and the New Day, I mean, they've been on WWE for about 27 years. I don't know how many trials they expect this guy to go through. How many things he's been expected to go. He's a Hall of Famer before tonight. What do you mean? Like, why does he have to go through more to get there?
Yeah, he was Barry Bonds before the alleged steroids. You know, he was already a Hall of Famer. Alleged. I said alleged.
I think my big theory is, I cut you off, Jack. My theory is, when it comes to TV shows and movies and even wrestling, is that we as fans, or we as consumers, do not appreciate comedy as much. So everyone was saying Big E and Kofi, well, he should be champ because he throws pancakes. And it's like, okay, you may feel that way, but that reasoning gets less and less credible as time went on. Like, what does Big E have to do? I remember 20 years ago, you had to bleed for the title. You had to be in a hardcore match a street fight, and the game has changed. And so if it's a PG product, Big E and the New Day, like Jack said, are Hall of Famers.
I was listening to an interview with Dame Judi Dench. Shout out to Dame Judi Dench. You know what I mean? I didn't think y'all would hear Dame Judi Dench on Mac Mania podcast. You get layers on this show, damn it. This show's going to be number one day. Listen. But no, she
peel
was
that,
like,
onion.
She is not. If anybody knows who Dame Judi Dench, damn it, she's a dame, for goodness sakes. But she's literally one of the greatest dramatic actors, theater actors ever, right? And she had like trepidations of being going on film, because she's like, I'm a theater person, right? But she said one of the hardest things ever is comedy. She was like, and people don't understand. She's like, for her, comedy is the hardest part. She thinks comedy is harder than drama. So what I'm trying to say is, there's people out there that understand how hard it is to be a comedian, and how hard it is to resonate with people, and how hard it is for people, especially like people like Flo Bogan, to get up on stage and tell jokes to make people laugh and literally elicit a response. He said he's moving a kind of hand. You know what I mean? He's being modest. You know what I mean? Like, getting up on stage, and you know that your job up on stage is to make a person laugh. You know what I mean? Yeah. What I'm trying to say is what they were doing these years, being over as like this, people think they're slapstick. I don't think it was as easy as people think of just being three guys being goofy. You know what I mean? I think there was some deeper thought going into that craft, because comedy is an overlooked craft. Like I said, I think that should be taken more seriously in award shows. They don't take comedy seriously as far as acting performances. You know what I mean? And I think people got lost in the shuffle with the antics and didn't focus on how hard that might have been to do.
Absolutely. I think, and the thing with being funny, a lot of people think they're funny, and a lot of people are funny conversationally, but it's a whole different ballgame when someone says, go out there and be funny for 15 minutes.
Man.
Go out there and entertain a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds.
That you don't know,
never met, and you got to make them all laugh, and you get one shot.
Every Monday or every Friday.
Yeah. And you don't get to go, oops, I messed that one up. Let's do it again, guys. I got something else. You know, you don't get that. But they did it all the time. Not to mention, they're great wrestlers, all of them in the New Day. But we're talking about Big E, so we'll say Big E. Big E's a great wrestler. And also, he's got like an infectious enthusiasm. Like when he was out there on Monday night in the opening, and he was standing there with Riddle and Orton and Lashley and MVP, all guys who are great, by the way, he changed the game. It felt different.
It's about time for that Flo B. Toes Boothang of the Week.
Flo B. Toes Boothang of the Week.
Man, Boothang of the Week, SmackDown. We'll get to that a little bit later. It was a hot show coming out of New York City, Madison Square Garden, part of my hometown, even though I claim Brooklyn specifically.
Hey.
Anyway, it was a fantastic show, top to bottom. It had a very pay-per-view feel. But one person wasn't on the show, but I still want to give my flowers to, is Thea Trinidad's Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega was out there around the community, around the December 11th, the remembrance of that weekend, talking about her personal connection. You know, we lost her father that day, on that tragic day. And even though she did not appear on the show, she was able to be an ambassador for the brand, and even showed what her costume would have been had she made air. And I don't think she gets the respect she deserves in that women's division. So, got to give it to Zelina Vega this week on Boothang of the Week. Follow her if you don't on social media or on Twitch. It's a good follow.
Yeah, man. Like I said, what the crazy thing about it is, I know she probably heard it. She'd be like, "Don't say that." But she's like she's like an angel. You know what I mean? like she really is really good at her character. Like, so much so you think she's that mean girl, but she is like the nicest person like ever. You know what I mean? And like and going through that tragedy, like barely don't even know her at that much at all. But I like reach out and was like, "Yeah, I know this is a difficult time. I just want to see if everything if you're doing okay." You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And And she actually responded, and we already talked like this. She responded. She was like, "Thank you so much. It was really appreciated. It's always a hard time, but I'm doing okay." It's one of those things where it's like, everyone knows about that tragedy, and then she lost somebody, but she also lost somebody during the most difficult time in this nation's history, you know. So shout out to Miss Thea Trinidad, and shout out to her for hanging there and doing different things and leaving and then coming back and trying to figure out ways to reinvent her character and always putting over that anime too. with the gear, flames, man. So shout out to Boothang of the Week, Thea Trinidad, Zelina Vega.
I am a huge gear fan. I love, I don't know, it's weird. I'm not a fashion guy per se, but I love the different outfits wrestlers come out in. But her outfits and her cosplays and things like that are always so good. Even in the characters, I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know much about anime, but
it's
I'll
deep
still
cuts. She'd be doing like deep cuts, though.
yeah, and that's the thing. I may not know who she's necessarily referencing, but I'll be like, that looks awesome. That's a really cool outfit. And it's always so different. It's not the same style all the time. Just really, from an outfit perspective, she's amazing. I think obviously what she does on screen is amazing. I'd love to see her get some dubs, personally, but what she's doing, I think she has the power of still being fascinating as a person on screen, win, lose, or draw. So maybe that's a curse, maybe that's a blessing, I don't know, but I'm a big fan of hers.
Objection, you are a big fashion guy. Your profile pic is a suit. I seen you on Twitter, on Instagram. All you wear is suits. But you're right, though.
I told you, I'm a firm believer. Jack Farmer came out of the womb with a three-piece suit on. I will stand by that. I don't give a damn. Yeah. I don't care about logistics and how things work. I don't even care how tiny the suit was, but it happened.
The fascinating thing about that is I had a pocket watch, too.
And a monocle? I know. I heard the your mother told me the story.
I don't know how we got the top hat out of there. So.
Your mother's like, I don't know where the monocle came from. Like, I don't either, Mrs. Farmer.
As what we don't see is there's a guy with a monocle and a top hat standing behind my poor dad.
Oh, my God. Dear God. Father's like, wait a minute.
I don't know.
This is a very special moment. We gonna let this settle for a little bit. Because you got a recovery process. I'm going to just chill. You know what I mean? That turned into like a Young and the Restless episode. Right there. Yeah. Shout out to Victor Newman, baby. Listen, man. For real, real talk. Yeah, that's a soap opera deep cut. Listen, man. Out of nowhere, man. I don't know what the hell's going on. Out of nowhere, Samoa Joe comes up on the camera talking about he relinquishing his title. He's relinquishing his title. I'm not trying to do like a. Listen, I'm not Sherlock Holmes. I'm not the great Columbo, the great Lieutenant Columbo. He no longer has a title. It's over. There will be a new champion tonight, actually. Thoughts on just everything. Is this a work? Do you care? Pete Dunne's winning, right?
I would say it's always tough to comment on these things because if there's a real if the injury is real, exactly. Then, I mean, I feel terrible for Samoa Joe. He's one of my all-time favorites.
Me too. Me too.
I mean, just devastating for him to lose the title in this way if he is injured. But I think kind of to what you were alluding to seems a little fishy with a new total rebrand happening right after he announces it. The thing that really stuck with me, too, is the fact that he says the WWE has informed me that I have injuries. And it was an indeterminate amount of time, very vague, everything they're saying, not a lot of details. When you look back at like Karrion Kross and he gets hurt and they're like, here are pictures from the surgery. This is the exact thing that happened. This is what they did to recover. This is how the recovery is going to look. And then Samoa Joe comes out and says, I was informed I'm hurt. And I was informed I'm not allowed to have the title anymore. It's right before a rebrand. Something just feels fishy to me. Again, I hope all is good with Samoa Joe. I don't obviously know, but just outside looking in, something doesn't add up to me.
Yeah. First of all, that was the best Samoa Joe impression I've ever heard, man. I have been informed. He's going to choke out the medical team after the fact. No, yeah. I'm with you, too. Like, I don't want to say that. Like, I know any more than the average fan because I don't. Or maybe even less, you know. But it does seem the timing is a little bit off. We didn't see Samoa Joe have a match at all after winning the title, and that was weeks after. So I wonder was it a training injury? Because, like, that happened to Bayley. Bayley was injured while training, legitimately.
To people like people in preseason, people in practice, all the time. All the time.
And again, by the way, they say they told us Bayley was injured while training, as opposed to she was informed.
Right. And to your point about Karrion Kross, when he, or even to Finn Balor, when he had to relinquish the title, it was a segment on the show where you got to address the audience in live time. So having an over the weekend digital video, then having another video with William Regal, Jack Farmer's favorite general manager, mm-hmm. saying, hey, look, we're now we're doing a four way. It seems kind of odd. But to answer the second part of your question, I like Pete Dunne. I've liked him for a long time.
Me too,
he's,
bro.
He's kind of like my indie rock band. I saw him wrestle.
Yeah, he's me. Yeah, he's that. He's it. I've seen him. Yeah, I've seen him before. Yeah, I'm one of those guys too.
But you're talking about a new era of NXT. The one person that does stick out, the one
LA
that
Knight
upset the apple cart.
Yeah.
L.A. Knight. And that's my pick to win it, man. That's the one that has a lot more stories to write if he becomes the million-dollar megastar and NXT champion. And that's a perfect balance of size and experience that can really put this in a direction.
Plus, that would piss everybody off. That would be like legitimate. He would draw like real heat. You know
whose
what I mean?
Game is it?
Yo, listen, I'm a big fan
that's
of L.A.
That's the fact of life.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anybody that got that kind of gift of gab and is that stage in his career and still looks like $1 million, it's impossible for me to like to hate. He literally, you could transplant him from now into the 1980s old school wrestling and he would fit right in with Mr. Perfect and all them, and you'd be like, who is this guy that getting on my damn nerves, you know what I mean? And he looks like he's old school, man. And I, at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of old school, guys, and I'm telling you. And he looks like $1 million when you're at the age he's at. I don't care what anybody says, man, you have to really 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 bust your ass in the gym to look like that guy, man. And to come out and look like that and be able to talk like that and try to reinvent your career and get, and like, listen, it would draw heat, man, but that would be, I would blow the doors off the place. That would blow to me. I would pop. I ain't gonna lie. LA Knight wins this joint tonight.
It's hard to look like that in your 20s, let alone at his age. So, you know what I mean? Look, and I say,
I'm not putting him out the pasture.
No.
But he is old. He's an older gentleman.
For wrestling, not
you know
for
what I mean.
Earth.
You know what I mean. Because
Damian Priest old.
I got to preface my statement.
I'm just joking.
Enemies are getting longer every week.
I got to preface this thing because Lord have mercy. Who knows? Lord, if people don't listen to context, Lord knows what can happen. When I'm talking about his age, I'm clearly meaning the age of an athlete. I'm in my mid to late 30s right now. So by the definition, I'm still a relatively young man because I'm in my 30s. In sports, I'm ancient. And if anybody knows sports, as soon as you like, if you're in soccer and you're like 23, they're like, well,
has to start transitioning to commentary.
He's gonna go and walk into the pitch. What a fantastic display!
They're like,
he can do it.
They're like, how does he do it at 31 years old?
One foot in front of the other.
A true miracle.
So y'all know what I'm talking about, man. He's just trust me. He's a very young man, but not in the industry, so it's just great to see somebody like that. It would be awesome. I ain't gonna lie, Flo, but that would be great, brother. So we'll see what happens. We'll talk about it next week. No matter who comes out top, was it a fatal four way?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
fatal four way.
I can't remember fatal four way. That's one fall, right?
Yes.
Four way dance is elimination, right?
Yeah, yep. But they don't have four-way dances in the E. It's like four corner elimination matches.
Yeah.
I think the client facing term.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed. my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
I wanted to get into something special. We're going to do this from week to week. There's three of us, so we'll be doing this for 3 weeks. And this is the first week of this thing here, man. I call it Mount Rushmore week one. We're going to do everyone's Mount Rushmore, our top four wrestlers of all time. Literally, there's no right answer. This is what we think. We're going to start with Jack this week, then Flobo next week, and then end with me. So, Jack, for this week, Mount Rushmore week one, who is Jack's four goats?
Well, you're doing this in the wrong order because this is the right four.
I should be ending with you. I should be ending
with me. This is the correct four. But my Mount Rushmore, my four, the four faces that go on the mountain are Ric Flair, woo, The Undertaker, Hulk Hogan, and John Cena.
Okay. We're gonna unpack this. We're gonna unpack this. Now listen, yeah. Like I said, there's no wrong answer. Even though Jack believes there is a wrong answer. I think it's a very eclectic list. So let's start with I call him one of the four pillars of wrestling. You got two of my four pillars, actually. I call him one of the four pillars of wrestling. I call him Hulk Hogan. Why is Hulk Hogan on your list?
Hulk Hogan, in many ways, you can say that he was the guy that brought pro wrestling to the mainstream. And we give Vince McMahon most of the credit, but I'm not 100% sure the WWF would have taken off the way it did if not for Hulkamania running wild. Not to mention, he was the greatest hero in all of wrestling during one of the hottest times in pro wrestling. Mm. Then changed companies, worked for someone else, and became the greatest villain in pro wrestling during one of the hottest times in pro wrestling. Mm. And I don't think anyone else has been able to do that. He helped WWF early and helped them topple all the other companies, then left and helped WCW overtake the WWF itself. Wow. That man is pro wrestling, and even though he hasn't really been wrestling for 20 years, I bet if you stood on a street corner and asked random people to name a pro wrestler, he would still be one of the top names mentioned.
That literally cannot be denied, and it cannot be understated. No matter what the shenanigans that happened a few years ago, I said I remain objective when it comes to him as far as being one of the four pillars of wrestling. And like, he was so over as that hero that was the greatest heel turn, because he was always your hero. And so, like I said, I can't argue with that. Hulk Hogan, he belongs on a Mount Rushmore. I'm glad he made one of our lists. Flobo, what say you?
It's kind of funny because like Magic Johnson in the NBA, who hasn't played ball in 20 years, every time he doesn't add, he still holds onto that basketball. You're just like, dude, you haven't played in so long. Why? No, I'm with you. I do not put him on my Mount Rushmore because of those shenanigans. And of course,
me either. I'm going to just keep it real with y'all. And I'm going to say shenanigans because it's a family show. But y'all know what the hell, y'all know what the hell I'm talking about. And I don't want to get into that foolishness. But literally, on principle, I cannot put him on that list.
And then not to discredit his catalog. Like Jack
and I don't do that. That's objective. You can't do that.
Right. We're both DJs, Jack, and there's some artists we can't play anymore just because of shenanigans. That's just the way you already know. So even though that is, but I will say is a word that's overused in pop culture. The word is icon. And the reason being is that if you 100%. Know someone who doesn't know a thing about wrestling, you say, give me an impression of a wrestler, 100%. It's usually Hogan. And that matters to a lot of people, inspire 100%. Everyone else. But I got into wrestling fairly late. I got into wrestling in 1993. So as far as I'm concerned, he's the guy from Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah, I'm a Mr. Nanny guy. I'm a suburban commando guy. You know what I mean?
All three of those TV shows and films just help the argument. I think that he's one of the best. That's some great film.
Mr. Nanny is a classic. No, like I said, so Hulk Hogan is fair, man. You said Nature Boy. You said Nature Boy, who to me is one of my other pillars of collar and elbow. Wise Flair on your list.
In my opinion, he's the GOAT. Because he's done it in the territories, he's done it in the NWA, he's done it in the WCW, he's done it in WWF and WWE. He was big during the big man 80s era, he was big during the Attitude era, big during the Ruthless Aggression era, and still getting talked about when he leaves a company and goes to another. He's still in Car Shield commercials, he's still getting talked about in songs, he's still getting quoted. What he's done going through all these different places and still doing big things in all these different places, I don't think anyone has ever done. And now that everything's streaming, I don't think anyone will ever be able to do again.
Ric Flair, Nature Boy, man, like I said, that alone, no matter what, if you've ever been to a live event, that starts happening before the show even starts. People are in line. There will just be it's like the wave, but it's a woo wave where one person will do a woo and someone will answer you. Someone will answer the woo. And like that's iconic. That's transcending everything. You got young whippersnappers like the Migos, like doing songs called Ric Flair Drip. The fact that they know who he is at the age that they are, it speaks volumes, man. Ric Flair is to me is a movement, man. He could literally charge $1,000 an hour for promo class if he wanted to. And you know what I mean? And I like the way he knew he was limited in the ring at certain things. He'll even tell you, but he knew how to tell a story in the ring and he knew what he was good at and he stuck to what he was good at. And damn, you know what? And his genetics just trickle on down to the Queen Charlotte Flair. Ric Flair worthy to be on anybody's Mount Rushmore, flowbeto.com.
What hasn't been said about Ric Flair, what I liked about him particularly is that you have this bubbling thing. It's like Superman versus Batman, right? Everyone loves Hulk Hogan, everyone loves Ric Flair, but the appreciation shifted over time, and Ric Flair still lives the gimmick, baby. I think living the gimmick is one of the best things you can do as a character, and I don't really have Car Shield, but I am entertained, sports entertained, every time I see one of those commercials.
LA Knight's in that commercial.
And the thing that I think really makes him special is, like, Randy Orton is top 10 all time for me personally. But Randy Orton basically has always been with the same company, same boss, and been successful there. Ric Flair, he's been at different companies. He's been in different eras where just the whole game was different. And he still always manages to find himself at the top, no matter what those differences are. I'm sure Randy Orton would be great in every other place as well, but Ric Flair actually was, and there's a difference there, I think.
Can't argue. Who else is on there? I'm gonna save the best for last.
I know. So Undertaker was the other one, because I know who you're saving. I know who you're saving. So regarding the Undertaker, Flobo mentioned living the character. Undertaker's the greatest character of all time, and someone that fans of all ages respect and love, and someone who made a character that is so outlandish, it would be impossible, I think, for just about anyone else to make us take it seriously, but he still made it seem so real for so many people, and he did such a good job of it. He basically got a spinoff with Kane that was so good itself, Kane went to the Hall of Fame, and I mean that with all due respect to Kane, by the way.
One of the greatest storytelling stories in the history of wrestling.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think everyone loves The Undertaker. I think everyone respects The Undertaker. And I think there's very few people who can be around as long as him, do as much as him, and still claim that everybody respects him.
Undertaker, one of the people that stayed there, and when people were shifting, people were jumping ship, he stayed there. He stayed in that company. He was the mainstay. There was people that, like Vince, They talk about the big man having like misses, and when it comes to certain people or being out of touch, they criticize the OG for being out of touch. But his hits, man, I'm gonna tell you something, man. His hit catalog, Vince McMahon's hit catalog is it's like 27 Baby Got Backs, you know what I mean?
I see what you mean, player.
You know what I'm saying, man? That joint doesn't live my anaconda. No, hold on. That's one of his biggest. He was like, this is going to work, and this is gonna work with you. As much as I love Mr. Calloway, if he had it his way, he would be the biker guy. because he loves that would probably have been his shtick from start to finish. And who knows if he'd be a mainstay? I would say no. There is that cult following that people love American Badass Undertaker, but we can all say that him with Paul Bearer in matches with, like, my childhood, those are my matches. I'm scared to death of Undertaker. Watching with Kamala, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. Like, those kind of things, casket matches and things like that as a young man. Watching him come out WrestleMania 9, a very underrated pay-per-view that we will unpack on this show, damn it, because I'm tired of the slander of WrestleMania 9, Caesar's Palace.
I'm about to trigger people. WrestleMania 9 triggers you?
Yeah, man, it triggers me, man, because people always talking, you know what I mean? Shit. Okay, listen.
Explicit tag.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There's already an E on this damn thing, and I barely say a word, but it's there. Every now and then, I'm just going to say the sugar honey iced tea, Flo-Po. Undertaker, baby. Worthy of a Mount Rushmore pick.
So for anyone here who's in the wrestling business, independent wrestlers, not even that, writers, actors, comic book fans, this is how you maintain the integrity of a character over almost 30 years.
No joke. Right?
The big character pillars are talking about the actual, like, funeral parlor taker, the satanic taker, and an American badass. Those are the big ones. It shows that you can go from back and forth. But to me, there was a nuance in there. I like the differences between American badass and Big Evil. Or I like the differences between...
There was nuances, you're right.
Yeah, the satanic one, and then the post-corporate ministry satanic undertaking. Mm. Those are the cool things for me. You put things in, you add things, you take things away. The Boneyard match, for what it was great, but what I loved it, and it was even in the Last Ride documentary, that it really was like the greatest hits. Not really an overture, but the greatest hits of every aspect of Mark Calloway. Even put some of the speed in there, some of the jump scares in there. And so I got it. I mean, that's a masterclass, a one-man masterclass of how to keep yourself fresh without changing too much over a long period of time.
Well said. Subtle changes.
I do not like the tone in Flobo's voice when he says it was what it was for what it was.
Okay.
I don't like the tone of your voice.
Can I defend myself?
Can he defend his position? You lost your privilege.
Objection. Yeah, you're right.
Objection.
Goodbye, everybody. I've just been informed I have these injuries.
Look,
cinematic matches are great, but we forgot about them already. It's been a year. No one's asking for them. And of that class of matches, it was top tier. But
to have arguably the greatest WWE match in history was him and Shawn Michaels. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I can say which one was the best one.
Yeah, some people argue the follow-up is better.
It's probably one and two. Those two matches. So
it's two.
And I do say WWE because, listen, there is a lot of product out there, guys, and there are a lot of people that put a lot of bangers on in different parts of the world. So, like, I will not go as far as saying that's the greatest wrestling match ever. That's tough to do. That's very tough to do because there's been some classics across the way in Japan. You know what I mean? You know, where they the boys get down over there, boy. They get down over there in Tokyo, boy. But I'm trying to tell you, if you know, you know. Who is finally on your list? If I don't know, I'm already getting a chill up my spine.
Yeah.
I'm already getting tingled. I'm already getting goosebumps. My vision is starting to get blurry for some reason. I don't know why, because I can't see this dude, but I can feel this dude.
I feel like this is the one that people are going to get upset about because they...
Kick rocks!
I don't know why they do, but John Cena, let me ask you guys, how do you measure success? Is it money? Is it merch? Is it main events? Is it wins? Is it accolades? Big match, John has all of them. He went for damn near 15 years as the guy pro wrestling. And almost all the big rivalries he was in, with future Hall of Famers, mind you, were those other guys' biggest rivalries. Edge, probably his biggest rivalry was John Cena. Orton, probably his biggest rivalry was John Cena. Brock Lesnar,
AJ Styles,
probably his biggest rivalry is John Cena. AJ Styles. We talk about pillars. He was the pillar when there was no one else in pro wrestling. WCW gone. TNA struggling. AEW wasn't a thing yet. New Japan Pro Wrestling wasn't as easy to be seen here in the States. He was Atlas with the world on his back, and he made that look easy.
Did Evan write that?
Damn, that did sound like that came from my memoirs, you know what I mean? Listen, man, this Big Mac's John. Because listen, everyone's like wondering, like, Evan, when did you think John Cena was? Like, because truth be told, I think Ric Flair is the greatest of all time. I talk, but like, but there's greatest of all time and then my greatest of all time. Two different things, even though they sound the same. They're two different things. The greatest of all time is probably Ric Flair. And I couldn't argue with that. But my greatest of all time is John Cena, because there has to be something to be said about the word longevity. We like to just gloss over the fact that he was over 15 years as a baby face. With all due respect, a lot of superstars, they bail on that and they say, I'll be a heel. I go, everyone can do that. You get to do all the cool stuff. You get to you get to cheat to win matches. You get to have people jump people. You get to do all these things, and you get to say mean stuff. Everyone excels as a heel because it's I'm not saying it's getting easier to do, but that's why people venture over there. It's hard to get over as a babyface, man. It's hard, man. Like the New Day struggled out the gate. They struggled out the gate with the power of positivity, and they beat you over the head with it, and you started realizing, damn, that's hard to do, man. Cena coming out with brightly colored shirts and being over that much, and then everyone liking to pretend they didn't say, you can't wrestle, you can't wrestle, and all of a sudden get quiet about that. Y'all just gloss over how y'all just started getting real quiet about the you can't wrestle. Y'all used to do that all the time. He improved his craft. He improved his storytelling in the ring, and he became a mainstay in the industry, man. You can't take that away from him. I don't give a damn what you how you personally feel. You got to be objective, man. I was just objective about Hogan, damn. Throw me a bone, Flobo.
Just shenanigans, man. That was another one.
That's the best way I can put it. Shenanigans.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, props to you, Evan, because going into, before we start working professionally, like, I never hated Cena. I was never the, oh, you can't wrestle because I'm like a watch the show guy, but I was pretty neutral on the guy. I was a fan of the Chain Gang. I thought the brightly covered stuff was kind of not for me anymore, but that was a symbol. John Cena is like a sign that, look, wrestling is not my target demographic, but I still love the crap. I love seeing kids go, that's my hero. I was sitting at SummerSlam, and if you see the new t-shirt, where he's like the Super Mario Brothers 3 thing when John Cena's flying around. Kids went nuts for that. I mean, I went nuts for that. But kids went nuts for that, man. It was great. One of my favorites of all time, not sure if it was on my Mount Rushmore, but Sheamus. Sheamus got made in a table match against John Cena. Awesome, and when he won the title, no one believed it. But now, Sheamus is literally one of the most decorated superstars on the roster now. So the Kingmaker himself, you can't deny him.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, and when Sheamus is doing his farewell tour, he'll tribute him to that match probably. He will probably talk about that match as one of the catalysts that brought him where he was. Solid opening to Mount Rushmore week, Jack Farmer. Solid opening. Undertaker, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Big Match John Cena. Solid. He believes it's the right list, guys. Everyone listening, you tell him if he's wrong. He is wrong, but he's almost right. He kind of got it. Let me bring down the mood a little bit. Let me bring it down. Let me keep it real calm and cool, man. I want to do something, flowbeetle.com. I want to do something to somebody that's near and dear to your heart, man. I want to bring down the tempo. I want to bring down the mood. I want to do a little D-Lo appreciation.
Oh, well, let's be real. My favorite professional wrestler of all time, D-Lo Brown, has done it all. And I say in this segment, which I hope is recurring because it's so great, I talk about him all the time, is that, look, in this episode, we're going to say he is one of the few men to hold both the European and the Intercontinental Championships at the same dang time. This is why I appreciate D'Lo Brown. Let's be real. The best character title in WWF was the European Championship. Ooh. The best work rate wrestling championship was Intercontinental, and that man was one of four. Do you know who the other three men are, perchance?
Dan Severn.
No, Dan Severn traded.
Did Shawn ever get that?
No, it's as it is right now. It's Rob Van Dam, Kurt Angle, and Jeff Jarrett, and all other of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Wow. And so D'Lo is in good company here. The most varied moveset. He shakes his neck like a pro. I'm telling you, give this man his flowers now because he's still giving back in commentary. That's my little D'Lo appreciation.
D'Lo appreciation. This is the first version of it. It will be reoccurring. It's gonna go on. He doesn't know it yet, but there's gonna be some smooth music in the background as you go through as you gush over D'Lo Brown. That's big stuff though, man. Eurocontinental champion, man. That is a very huge thing. Shout out to D'Lo Brown, man. Shout out to one of the OG legends, man. If y'all know anything about that, young whippersnappers, go do a deep dive in old D'Lo Brown, man. Fellas, before we get up out of here, what was your match of the week, Jack?
My match of the week is, I have to say, the Raw main event. the one we saw just now. And I want to be clear. Obviously, we talked about Big E. I want to be clear. We're talking about the Raw main event, the whole thing. How it ended was great. But I want to give a shout out to Randy Orton and Bobby Lashley, a match they just beat the crap out of each other throughout this thing. I love the RKO reversal into a spear to the kick out.
Yeah,
I loved MVP getting RKO'd on the outside and Riddle, convulsing next to him.
Was ridiculous.
It was fantastic. I thought this was such a great match. Obviously, I also even love Big E and how that... I love how they went to a commercial break after he cashed in and everyone had chances
People had an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, it was like people were tweeting about it. They were talking about it. You had that holding your breath, like, is it really happening or are they going to weasel out of it? What's going to happen? Like, something's going to happen. So, like, and it made the whole, like, this moment that typically only takes a second drag out and feel great. So I loved Randy Orton. I loved Bobby Lashley. And I even loved I obviously loved the cash-in, as we said. So that was my match of the week.
Yeah, that was a great match, man. And everything you said, echo every sentiment. My match of the week actually was, it was built up. It was canceled. There was some travel issues, man. Andrade and Pac, man. You know what I mean? I'm going to try to say Pac, even though he's Neville to me. You know what I mean? Just because he looks like a Neville. You know what I mean? But let me tell you something, man. As far as if you like pure wrestling, if you like great atmosphere, if you like people jumping off the top rope, if you like a good old collar and elbow, and catch-as-catch-can style, brother. Andrade and Pac, they put on a show, man. It was an incredible, incredible match, man. Andrade is improving somehow. I don't even know how the hell that's possible, man. Pac is Pac. He's a super freak as well. Like I said, it had everything that I wanted to have, man. Like I said, AEW, they're doing a great job of bringing pure wrestling. Like I said, if you're a wrestling purist and you like that kind of stuff, and if you like somebody that doesn't fit the traditional mold like a luchador, like Andrade, someone that's doing something a little bit different but still maintaining his cultural identity, and then you see somebody like with Pac to deliver what they deliver, different sizes, different speeds, different techniques, and make a match, and they just fit so well and they mesh so well. And I thought it was beautifully done, a beautiful story they told in the ring. So Andrade and Pac, my match of the week.
Yeah, and mine was definitely the Seth Rollins Edge rematch.
Crazy.
From SummerSlam. It's New York City. The crowd was hot. We're wondering about hot crowds and how it will work with this. And this is the hottest I've seen SmackDown, which is already firing on all cylinders. Yeah. Told a different story, a unique story, but one that totally worked for this. And now this may be the end of this current Edge run. I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if it's a trade or it's going to be fighting himself. It's going to be a legit injury. But there's so much intrigue around this one here. Seth Rollins, I'm not sure if I'm with the drip every week, but he looked like he was in form on Friday on an already great show. That was my match of the week.
Oh, great stuff, man. Great stuff. All three great matches, man. We're probably going to deep dive into that each week, man. I'm sure there's going to be something that's going to stick out to us, so we'll probably do match of the week each week.
But, what a great week of wrestling, by the way.
Can we just like, throw all that around, out? Like, brother.
I feel like every show this week really knocked it out of the park.
It's hard to argue that, but also hard to argue is who's on the farmer's market. Farmer's market, baby.
Yes.
have you heard the beat? Though you've heard the beat in the background.
Yeah,
right?
I love it. Farmer's market. This is where we pretend wrestlers are stocks, and I tell you which one to buy low so you can sell high later. When it comes to investing, one of the rules of thumb is to invest in what you know and invest in what you enjoy. I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so it's fun to invest in Disney and watch it do its thing, and it's smart investment because I know Disney, because I love Disney, and I know it's going to continue to crush it forever. This week, I'm
picking... need to get some sponsors up in here, man.
Yeah, for real.
Disney, if you want me to invoice you, just let me know.
They will.
But this week, I'm picking a combo that maybe a lot of people don't know, but they're a combo I know. And I know we get talked. People say we always focus on the WWE. This is outside of that, though.
I did 30 minutes of AEW last week. Listen to the damn show. Kick
that's not,
rocks.
That's not the clip I heard. But,
Go ahead, man. 30 damn minutes.
So these two guys, it's two guys. Their names are Danny Limelight Rivera and Sly Boogie, and they've been absolutely dominating everywhere they go, whether it's here in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Primetime Live, NWA Power, AEW Elevation, Dark, and Dynamite, and now they just inked those contracts with Major League Wrestling, and I'm telling you, Anyone who knows talent will tell you these guys check all the boxes to continue to rise, continue to grow. And if you haven't seen them in any of the places I mentioned, be sure to check out MLW and see just how good they are. But first, you better buy stock in them because their value will continue to rise and you'll never get that stock at this price again.
Would you say they're like, could they be like the IBM stock, the early Apple stock? Were you projecting the Tesla stock?
Well, again, like MLW is doing some pretty cool things. So it's not that they're nobody. I mean, again, NWA, they've been on AEW, but they're still, again, they're not well known. They're kind of one of those stocks that like maybe a lot of people haven't heard of yet, that maybe a lot of people don't know about yet. It's not like Bitcoin where everyone's on top of it already. It's not like Amazon. I don't know where their value will end up, but I do know that it's going to go up. Now, the thing that's kind of held them back, I think, is they didn't have that contract before, but now they've signed a contract. They're working with Conan over there. I think they are set up to do big things over there, and I think they're going to start being one of those teams that everyone starts talking about as the big standouts that someone on network TV is going to want to sign.
Flobo, buy, sell, hold.
Yeah, automatic buy. This is one of those stocks that's not going to peak high like an Amazon, but it's going to be a consistent performer. We're talking like Waste Management or Costco or even Coca-Cola, the ones that always get you money, but it won't be sexy while doing it. Danny Limelight's been doing the thing in the ring, which is a lot for a lot of people, but then also has the wherewithal to get himself seen outside of wrestling, doing other projects, that's what people are looking for now. No one has the time or resources, unless you're at AEW or WWE, to make you a star outside the ring. Everyone kind of else buys in. If Danny figured that out and Slice Bookie figured that out, then the sky's the limit. So I'll buy.
Buy. You guys, if you don't know, check them out. Doing good things, doing great things. This is one of those early stocks, so we will revisit this when they're on the top doing their thing, tag team champions and whatever promotion they ever so choose. But that's it for us, man. Shout out to Dame Judi Dench, you know what I mean? Shout out to Disney. Shout out to shout out to those very controversial menu items, man. We were in dark times back in the day, man. Jack came up with some classics, boy. Yo, Evan T. Mac here, man. Real Jack Farmer, Flobito.com. Gentlemen, any final words, man? I don't know.
I will never say, can I have more skins with the same things ever again? No, I'm good, man.
Yo, man. Yo, man. Jack, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you coming with the list, man. Right now, it's tied 2-2. I do want to win this ridiculous contest between the fake items and real items. I want to win.
Yeah.
Oh, next week, guys. Oh, yeah, next week was Mount Rushmore week 2 with Flobo, and he's promised them really piss y'all off, so please don't miss this.
I did not promise
this. This is going to be awful.
the list is going to be terrible. Oh, this is going to be it's going to be like Honky Tonk Man. Yo, am I trying to diss him? I'm just,
hey, you saw it already? Come on, Blair.
Yo, I'm not trying to diss Honky Tonk Man. I'm sorry. Y'all take it easy. Yo, we out.